7. When I think about it, I have to say that by 1919, even the Hitler Youth had almost been formed. For example, in our school class we had started a club called the Rennbund Altpreußen, Old Prussia Athletics Club, and took as its motto Anti-Spartacus for Sport and Politics. The politics consisted in occasionally beating up a few unfortunates who were in favour of the revolution on the way to school. Sports were the main occupation. We organised athletics championships in the school grounds or public stadia. These gave us the pleasurable sensation of being decidedly anti-Spartacist. We felt very important and patriotic and ran races for the fatherland. What was that, if not an embryonic Hitler Youth? In truth, certain characteristics later added by Hitler's personal idiosyncrasies were lacking, anti-Semitism for one. Our Jewish schoolmates ran with the same anti-Spartacist and patriotic zeal as everyone else. Indeed, our best runner was Jewish. I can testify that they did nothing to undermine national unity. During the fighting in March 1919, the Rennbund's activities were temporarily interrupted while our sports grounds were used as battlefields. Our neighbourhood became the main area of street fighting. Our school was the headquarters of the government troops, and the adjacent elementary school was used as a base by the Reds. The German name for elementary school is Volksschule, people's school. How apt! For days the battle raged for possession of these two buildings. Our headmaster, who had remained in his school quarters, was shot dead. When we saw it again, the façade of the building was pockmarked with bullet holes. A large bloodstain that could not be removed remained under my desk for many weeks. We had unscheduled vacations for weeks on end, and experienced our baptism of fire. Whenever we could, we stole away and headed for the fighting in order to see something. There was not much to be seen. Even the street fighting demonstrated the emptiness of the modern battlefield. There was all the more to be heard. We were soon quite hardened to the sound of ordinary machine guns, light artillery, and even trench fire, and got excited only by mortars or heavy artillery. It became a sport to enter blockaded streets. We would steal through houses, yards, and basements, and suddenly appear behind the blockading troops, well beyond the notices, saying, "Halt! Anyone found beyond this point will be shot." We were not shot. The barricades did not always function very well. Normal civilian life often mingled grotesquely with military operations. I remember a particularly beautiful Sunday, one of the first warm Sundays of the year, with crowds of people strolling down a broad, tree-lined street. It was utterly peaceful, not a shot to be heard anywhere. Suddenly the people divided left and right into the doorways of the houses. Armoured cars came rattling by. We heard ear-splitting detonations frighteningly close by. Machine guns sprang to life. All hell was let loose for 5 minutes. Then the armoured cars rattled off and disappeared. The machine guns subsided. We boys were the first to emerge. We saw a strange sight. The long avenue was deserted, but piled in front of each house were heaps of broken glass of varying sizes. All the windows had been blown out by the explosions. Then, as nothing more seemed to be happening, the strollers timidly reappeared. A few minutes later, the street was again bathed in the atmosphere of a spring Sunday, as though nothing had happened. It was all eerily unreal, and the details remained unexplained. I have never found out, for instance, what this gunfight had actually been about. The newspapers did not mention it. They did reveal, however, that on this very Sunday, while we were strolling under the blue spring sky, a few kilometres away, in the suburb of Lichtenberg, several hundred, perhaps several thousand, the figure fluctuated, captured workers had been rounded up and disposed of in batches by firing squads. That frightened us. It was so much closer and more real than anything that had happened far away in France. However, nothing followed after the massacre. None of us knew any of the dead. The newspapers ran other news the next day. So the fright soon passed. The year advanced. Spring merged into a beautiful summer. School began again, and the Rennbund Altpreußen resumed its beneficent patriotic activities.